Well, here we are. We are ready to get this off the ground, Doc. We are bringing the third episode of American Christian.
American Christian?
American Christian!
Wow.
Dr. David Nichols, President and CEO of Heart of the Father Ministries. I'm Pete Cooper, Director of Outreach, and we are here to bring another segment. We're talking about revival right now, and I think we've got an official kind of a title called The Negative Signs of Revival, and Jonathan Edwards.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Man, so Pete,
yeah,
for our listeners, I think we need to ask them, what would you do if you walked into a meeting somewhere and people were laying on the floor and were flopping around, laughing hysterically?
Yeah.
And some kind of stuff like that. What would you do?
Well, I think you and I both had experienced that, but it, if I would have come into that in the middle of it and seeing all these people hysterically, not just laughing, ha-ha,
right,
hysterical, can't catch your breath laughing,
right,
and I don't know how I would have responded to that. I might have been a little taken back by it. And
most people are.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's why we're talking about this today. And especially why we're having the guy talk to us about this, Jonathan Edwards.
Right.
Who comes out of Puritan background.
1700s.
In the early 1700s. This isn't some, you know, 1980s, 1990s guy that's swinging on chandeliers in a charismatic church somewhere.
Right.
This guy is...
He's formal.
He's considered one of the greatest theologians that America has ever produced. Okay, so we're going to look at what he says about this stuff.
Right, and he's coming over from England.
Yeah, his people did.
Yep, and he comes into Massachusetts, New England area, 1736. He's the third minister to be settled in Northampton. So he's not like coming from a huge line of guys that were there before him, but it's like... He's the third guy.
Yeah, and he's greatly respected.
Greatly respected. His wife, greatly respected.
Very dignified lady.
Right. I mean, we were discussing, grew up in England. Very proper. A lot of proper and manners and tradition, and there's all of that. On top of this holiness thing, right? The Puritan movement.
Right.
We should talk about that sometime.
We should.
Because it's, I don't know that... I even can get my head around it. Most of our listeners, I don't know, maybe they know stuff about church history, but the Puritan movement was,
yeah,
the Quakers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And the Shakers.
And the Quakers and the Shakers.
Right.
So apparently, you know, before Edwards got there, there were what they had considered, at least the man that was there was Stoddard. So he's Jonathan Edwards' grandfather. On his mother's side, he has what he called five harvests.
Right.
So that's kind of another term, right? When we talk about revival, we're talking mm-hmm. about awakening, and now, and in this terminology, he has a harvest.
And that's where the Spirit of God really moved, and people were hungry to draw near to God, basically, and came and were converted, right?
Right. But does that look different today than it did back in 1700. Really, this was even late 1600s.
Right.
When this was going
on.
This is even this is like 100 years before we became a nation.
Right.
That's what's crazy. I think that would
be. With Stoddard part of it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
So some of these times were much more remarkable as the kind of the history goes. I'm reading out of the Reformation to Revival 500 Years of God's Glory. A guy by the name of Matthew Backhauler, and it's interesting because we're kind of trying to take you down this path also with us as we start looking at what revival can look like. But in this particular movement, when Jonathan comes in as pastor, the youth of the region, right? And if you can imagine, they were rebellious. Now, what did rebellion look like in early 1700s, right? Like,
right,
people were holding hands.
Right.
And today, it's much more severe than that. But it was the youth that had grabbed a hold of the message that was coming out of the pulpit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of where we're kind of what we're really looking at. It's this there's something that gets seeded in the masses, in the churches. Something gets grabbed a hold of, and it starts to work in the seedbed of revival and or awakening.
And of course, Edwards, probably his most famous sermon is Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God.
Yeah, that is a, you know what, you can, if you're listening right now, you can go out onto blueletterbible.com, and you can just type in Jonathan Edwards, Sinners in the at the Hand of an Angry God. It is crazy, and it's not a very long sermon. It's quite short.
And he wasn't a real demonstrative speaker either. They say that on the day he delivered that, he was just kind of a monotone standing behind the pulpit and just speaking those words. And people are grabbing on the pew because they feel they're being thrown into hell. I mean, you know, it's like, dude.
I remember the first time I read that sermon. Do you remember reading it? My goodness.
Yeah.
So there really definitely is something when God begins to move within a people group. In this case, it was, you know, the early Americans. But this was also taken down into, at this time, there was ministry that was happening to Indians down in Georgia, right? There was that kind of a movement as well.
Right.
Unusual and extraordinary things. You had talked about like this double negative.
Right. Well, first I think we should read a scripture.
Oh, okay.
A passage here to kind of launch us into this.
Yeah, let's get the word in this.
Yeah, so in 1 John chapter 4, because when people encounter things that seem weird because they're out of their normal realm of experience, they kind of want to, you know, how do I know this is really God? You know, are these people just in the flesh? Is this of the devil? There's all these kinds of questions kind of seem to swirl around.
Right.
So in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us, but he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." So that's a pretty powerful statement of scripture right there. And what we want to key in on here today is some of the characteristics and means by which Jonathan Edwards said that we should judge things and know what is of God and what is not. And so as he writes about this, and remember, this is a guy now that experienced years of what is now called the Great Awakening, with probably just about every kind of revival manifestation happening that you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So the way he presents this, he starts with the negative for a very good reason, and he goes to the positive. We aren't going to get to the positive today. We'll get there eventually, but we're going to just cover four different negative ones. And by negative, this is what we mean. This is what he meant. That because these things are present does not mean it is not of God. A double negative, in other words,
right,
can lead you to a positive. Okay,
special
right? math, right?
Right.
So,
right.
So the first one is that unusual and extraordinary things are happening, not what the church is "quote unquote" used to. So, what we would say to you, listener, is if you are a person who wants to embrace revival, and for it to really be a sovereign move of God's Spirit, where the Spirit of God is free to do in the lives of people what he wants to do, it's not going to be church as usual.
Right. And I think that was your experience down in Brownsville, correct?
It most certainly was.
I mean, traditionally speaking, you come up through the Assemblies of God, very formal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what we kind of get used to the idea that we're going to have three songs.
This is the way you do a service.
This is the way you do a service. We have preaching, mm-hmm. and at the end of that, we might have
some testimonies,
maybe,
and stuff like that. But
right.
But yeah,
people can get prayed for after service. But generally, it seems to me that there's this outline, and it's generally within 45 minutes, you are out the door. Next service is going to, if there is a next service, would start 30 minutes, 45 mm-hmm. minutes later.
Yeah.
That kind of a deal. Moving right. people in and out of a space.
Right.
But in revival, the time.
Services started taking 3 and 4 hours and more. Sometimes.
Not to mention standing in line to get in there.
Well, yeah, at Pensacola, yeah, you stood in line all day to get in so you could be sure you got into the main building because they had several overflow buildings.
My goodness sakes. Yeah, so things that are what we are not used to, that opens up a big door, doesn't it?
And what Jonathan is telling us is just because those things are present does not mean it is not a move of God.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So in that negative sense, it is actually establishing that maybe it is a move of God because the apple cart is being upset.
That's a good way of seeing it.
Yeah, and it's people, most people, and myself included, we like to be comfortable. We like to have things be predictable.
Mm.
Well, you don't read in the Bible very long, and you start to find out God's quite unpredictable.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah. The one predictable thing is that he's very unpredictable.
Exactly. I mean, look with Abraham, Moses, David, anybody you want to read about, God's doing this weird stuff all the time.
Floating axe heads.
We think, yeah, right. You know, cutting heads off of giants.
My word.
Who, when Saul got up that day, do you think that's what he thought he was going to see? I don't think
yeah,
so.
Yeah, the normal was we're all going to stand opposite of each other on
right.
a hill.
And yell at each other.
Yeah.
Right. And then David comes in with the slingshot, you know.
After delivering the cheese and bread.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, revival, to be in revival and to appreciate it, you got to be ready for things to be unusual.
Man,
at that point,
I just really like the fact that we're even talking about this right now, because it's the idea that we are laying seed really into the ground. I mean, this is not the word seed that's going into the ground, but it is thoughts and things that we are declaring right now,
mm-hmm.
that the unusual is going to come, and to be ready for that.
Right.
Don't be upset or walk out when you first come into it. What does the word say, right?
Right.
To test the spirit.
Test it out, right.
Right. If people are hollering out the name of Jesus.
Right.
Right?
And it's drawing them to the Lord and to repentance.
Yeah,
and
there's
and
something
to his
there.
Presence.
Yeah.
Something good is there.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the second one is, this again is from Jonathan Edwards. There are effects on human bodies with tears, groanings, tremblings, falling, failure of strength, he calls
mm.
it. Okay, these we would call manifestations of the presence of God. And really, in my experiences of this, and I've had a number of them, it really is that the presence of God in real revival leading mm-hmm. to awakening is so pronounced, so strong, that the human frame can't really just be normal.
Right.
Because this God is so mighty, he's so loving, he's so powerful, he's so amazing, that we are finite beings. And there's something good in this. It just reminds us of our finiteness. I mean, when you have a man of God lay his hand on you and the power of God is so strong you're thrown to the floor, it kind of helps you understand that.
Right.
You know?
In a very small way.
Right.
Really, I mean, because you're not taking the whole amp. the whole amplitude of the Lord. You're taking...
You got 110. You're not into the 220.
You're not into 220. Right. You know, this physical phenomena, right, the bodily manifestations, you know, we're talking about the knots, right, like if you see this. But the other thing that Wesley wrote about, he says, many, no doubt, were at our first preaching struck down both soul and body into the depth of distress. Their outward affections were to be easily imitated. In other words, there were those that were there that wanted to belong, right?
And like, imitated what they saw.
Right? There is a portion of that. But they go on to say that that was rarely the case, although...
And I've seen that too.
Well, right, yeah. Or those that are like, I am not falling down.
Right.
I will not fall down.
Right.
And then
the power hits them
and
boom, they really go
down. And they get a rug burn.
Right. Let me tell of one of these that happened to me out in the state of Idaho. I went to a revival conference out there with some people that have really, really been immersed in revival, Roland and Heidi Baker.
Oh, yeah.
If you've heard of Heidi, is sometimes called the Mother Teresa of the Protestant Church. But
Mozambique, right?
Right,
yeah.
Right. But her husband, Roland, is a very powerful man of God. So he was speaking this one session, and he... I wouldn't say he was a real animated, dynamic speaker, but man, what he was sharing was so powerful. So at the end of the session, I went up there to get prayer from him, and he stuck out his hand like a handshake. And I'm like, man, I've never been prayed for like this before. So I took his hand like a handshake, and when my hand grasped his, it was like voltage is like being plugged into a wall outlet into my arm, right down into my body. I mean, I hit the floor from that, and I started to roll. I became a holy roller. I had always heard about holy rollers. I mean, I was raised in a Pentecostal church as a child. People always talked about it. And Baptist kids at school always ridiculed us. They called us holy rollers, but I never really knew what it was because we didn't roll at our church. You know? But that day out in Idaho, I rolled for 45 minutes.
Oh, my.
From one side of the front of that place to the other, back and forth.
My goodness.
My wife stood there watching in somewhat of an amazement.
Had you ever seen that before?
Not quite like that.
Yeah.
And so at the end of that, I mean, my body was, after 45 minutes of that, my body was exhausted. And I just laid on my back, and I was just like, oh, man. So Roland comes back. He puts his two hands on the two sides of my head, and he goes, give him more, Lord. I'm like, no, I can't take any more. But there was more.
Yeah.
And after he did that, I curled up in about, because, you know, I'm kind of, my mind's already then kind of starting, is this of God? You know, I mean, what's happening here? It's like my body is out of control.
Reasoning starts coming.
Exactly. So then, after he does that second thing, I curl up in a ball in the fetal position, and I start to wail and groan in intercession. I start to see scenes in my mind and in the spirit of crowds of people, and black people, and red people, and white people, and I mean all different kinds of people in different places and different times, and I'm groaning, travailing for their salvation.
Oh my.
That went on for I don't know how long, at least a half hour.
My.
And that's how I knew that was of God, but it certainly wasn't what usually happens even in a conference service. And it was a real encounter with this, the manifestations. So what I had to process was really what Jonathan Edwards says about this. Because this is a body rolling around on the floor and not what you really expect, does not mean it is not of God.
Right.
And when I got to that intercession and that burden for the lost came on me, then I really saw it.
So
I was testing the spirits to see what was of God, and man, that was of God.
Right. So is this was before Heart of the Father started? Was this
right as Heart of the Father was starting? Right within that first year.
So there's a download.
Oh yeah.
That comes.
Oh man.
And we say we use the term download today. It's a very common word.
Right.
We see it with our computers and phones. We understand what download is.
Right.
Back in the day, Puritan-wise, like they were receiving
downloads. Right.
And the other thing too is that what the experience is that it's body, soul, and mind.
Right.
There's something that is exchanged between those three coming together of a man, right? Body,
right.
Soul, spirit. Something is happening in that.
Right. Now, the amazing thing about it, too, is in the years that followed, I lived to see those scenes that were in those visions, in the spirit, when I was laying on that floor.
Did you pray into those?
Yes.
I mean, so this gets revealed to you. And I guess I'm just trying to help our listener. Like, when things like this begin to happen, when the visions, when dreams start to happen, is that you start to pray into those things,
absolutely.
Right? Because that's something that's coming, and you have to set yourself in alignment with God, because, as we had talked about in our second episode about the presence, right? That God is coming into this. He's showing us who he is, and are you going to get on board, basically, with what he has?
Or are you going to say, how could this be of God?
Yeah. Oh, right.
Okay, so our third one here is that there is noise and publicity with the move. Sometimes people raise this as a criticism. Well, it's just a bunch of noise.
Unorganized.
And there is noise with revival, I believe. Man, the PA systems we have now, and there are people that criticize that with Brownsville and with Smithton, with Toronto and all. Well, they're just cranking up the PA system. I heard one, this was a pastor said this, I'll shut down that revival, just let me pull the cord on their organ. Because they had a really good organ player, the guy on the Hammond B3, I mean, he was good.
Dude.
But that pastor was wrong. I mean, the guy was glorifying God and worshiping and praising him and bringing the presence of God with powerful organ playing. And it moves the human emotions.
Sure.
I can't I can't walk into a revival service, all right, now, emotions, rah, I'm ripping you out of me, I'm putting you in a locker here, I'm locking you in, and I'm going into the meeting because I'm going to encounter God. You can't do that. You're a human package.
Yeah.
You're created in the image of God, and you have a mind, you have reason, but you have emotions, you have a body that has sensations, and it has certain kinds of strengths and weaknesses, and God loves you so much, he wants to hit you right there as that human package of who you are. Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I love it.
Yeah. So noise, and then publicity. People have also criticized revival. Well, they publicity. Well, there's different, so many different ways that has been done. Word of mouth, of course, is the best.
Right.
And that's from old times. That's what happened the most. That people just talked about what happened.
Right.
I mean, when you see people laying on the floor like a battlefield. And you go home and start talking about it. And you think, wow, what happened at church today?
Something's really come over you this last week.
Right. You look different.
You look different.
That
you sound different.
A lot.
Yeah.
Your face looks different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's also, when we start talking about publicity, there's also a negative publicity that comes with that as well. Like you think of the critics that started writing in Time Magazine or the different... Right, Newsweek or whatever it was that were reporting on Brownsville or they were reporting on Toronto, and just in like talking 20th century stuff, right?
But the more they did that, the more the people came. It was like, seriously.
Yeah.
Over time, that proved to be the case.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
From all over the world, actually.
All over the world.
Yeah.
And we were, at that time, you had the internet.
Right.
I mean, so people are taking pictures, they're uploading videos, there's just like the spread.
Well, it was just starting, so this would be like the late 90s, the last half of the 90s. And what I'll never forget, too, was talk about the publicity of this going out. This is before, just as DVDs were just barely starting, okay? There were not smartphones as we know them now at all.
Right.
And the VHS tape was the means by which these things were, and people would copy and I remember these grainy, you know, it looked like a snowstorm on the screen. But we were so hungry. We loved to watch. We gathered people together to watch these services and these meetings and like Steve Hill preaching and Randy Clark up at Toronto and these different things. And we'd watch that stuff for hours, stuff that people wouldn't even look at today because it was so grainy.
But when you get hungry.
But you know what was amazing, too, that cellulite, that tape, how could that carry the glory of God?
Oh, come on.
Somehow it did. The Spirit of God, I mean, I'm not saying it was necessarily in the molecules of the material. I mean, I don't know.
Right.
But the anointing was there.
And it would carry.
It would. It went all over the nation, all over the world.
That was, you know, we do healing by cell phone in this ministry. You introduced that into your ministry at one point in time, but we know that transfer of what's happening, the omnipresence of God, that when His name is being declared, when the Holy Spirit is asked to come in, when you begin to talk about God, God shows up. That's His nature, to want to be in it.
Man, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Pete, because that really does illustrate this publicity thing. Because people say, what, on a cell phone? Yeah. We had one of the coolest testimonies of this happened down in Ohio. This young lady was in the meeting from Kenya, Africa. She was a student in the city there.
Oh, okay.
And she, I said to everybody, okay, get out your phone and call somebody that's sick, and then you're going to hold them up, and I'm just all at once, we're going to just declare healing and pray for them over the phone all together.
Right.
So she got out her phone, and if you understand how it works in Africa, this will make sense. She looks at her phone. She goes, oh, I don't have enough minutes. Because in Africa, you buy these little cards, and they have so many minutes, and you load them into the phone, and that's how much you can talk. So she said, what am I going to do? She almost put her phone away. She says, wait a minute, I can text her. She texts her mom from Ohio to Kenya, the other side of the earth. Okay. And on the text, she says, healing prayer is now. Get ready to be healed. And the mother had a severe case of malaria in Kenya.
Yeah.
So she pushes the button, signal goes up, hits the satellite, goes over to Kenya. Her mom opens it up. As her eyes read the words, the healing power of Jesus comes into her.
Oh, my.
The malaria drains out of her body, and she's healed, reading a text message.
Wow.
I think that's awesome.
It is awesome.
And that girl wrote a 4-page snail mail letter and mailed it to us that we got 2 weeks later that told all this detail. That's how we knew all this detail. Glory. We didn't even know it at the meeting.
Wow. I wonder if that says something about Rhema, the Rhema word.
Whoa.
I mean, we're reading the Word of God out of the Word of God, out of the Bible, right? And things come
word
up.
Word comes to life.
Word comes to life.
That's what has to happen. So this publicity, just because publicity is spontaneously happening does not mean it is not a move of God.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So the fourth and last one here, Jonathan gives us is the effects on the human imagination and then also ecstasy.
Oh boy.
Yeah,
here we go. Okay.
Yeah.
Take it.
In revival, God wants to affect the whole man, the whole woman.
Yeah.
And we forgot to mention to you, we're going to be speaking in gendered language all through this.
This is kind of an explicit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Broadcast.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So men and women, okay? So
mothers and fathers.
And brothers and sisters.
And brothers and sisters.
Right. So when the effect of the presence of God in these these heightened times come, it's almost like the imagination of your mind, instead of being turned to how it is in sin, where your imagination is, well, you know, hey, look what that guy has, and you covet your neighbor's, you know, new Corvette or whatever.
Right.
Well, yeah, you know. Now, in the presence and power of God, your imagination begins to begins to work in righteous avenues.
Wow.
And appreciate things. Man, look at the work of God that he's doing through that brother, through that sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at what could happen here if we did this. And it's almost like sanctified imagination.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
The impossible becomes possible.
Right. And people say, well, that's crazy. Well, yeah, it is. It's not crazy. I just got out of my mind, you know, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What you like to say. I mean, you left your mind a long time ago.
Well, Brother David Hogan helped me with that.
Did he?
That one message. I'm not out of my mind. I'm out of yours. I'm out of your mind. But, you know, and not that we should never use our minds. We should. But if we let our minds be an obstacle to revival, we're never really going to see it in the way God wants to show it, because God is not going to be contained in a human mind. If you learn anything from reading the Bible,
right?
I mean, how's he going to send salvation into the world to redeem the whole world? Well, a late teenager young lady who's never had sex with anybody is going to bear a child. You're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you know, come on.
I mean, this is off the charts, right?
Right.
And then this man, Jesus, as he grows up, this boy becomes a man, and just the stuff he does in the Gospels is, I mean, it's way over the top.
Way over the top.
Stills the sea, delivers the demoniac. I mean, all these things
heals
are
lepers.
God's unbridled power loosed on the earth.
Right.
The people who witnessed those things understood it wasn't church as usual.
Right.
When you were in the presence of Jesus.
Jesus
was a walking revival, I guess you could say, right?
This does not normally happen. Well, it didn't happen in the synagogue.
Until that day when Jesus stood up and read Isaiah 61.
Right. Oh, my
the
word.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
What would those?
He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor.
This has been fulfilled.
Here it is. It's been fulfilled in your ears, opening blind eyes.
Yeah.
And then he actually literally went ahead and did it.
Right.
It's not just some metaphor.
Right.
Right.
But these people left that place with an impression.
Yeah,
like,
they did.
Could this really be him or
right.
not?
Right.
And I think that's what we're still experiencing today, and it
right.
really brings us to the top of what we're talking about.
And why we need to hear Jonathan Edwards over these many years of time, a man
right.
who lived through the first Great Awakening.
Yeah, amen.
He said, look, just because you're seeing unusual stuff, don't let that turn you aside. And listener, that's really what we're teaching you here today. Be ready, because God's going to come in power, and it may not be in the package you expected. It may not be in the way you even prayed for it.
Right.
But God is God. And when he comes close, wonderful, amazing, unusual things happen.
I'm Pete Cooper.
I'm Dr. David Nichols.
We'll see you next time, American Christian.
And you can find us on www.heartofthefather.net. All our stuff is there. And